This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Are President Trump's tariff threats paying off, and the debate in Canada over oil? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Leaders in Europe are calling for permanent exemptions on steel and aluminum tariffs after President Trump delayed the deadline for imposing them on the EU, Mexico and Canada to June 1st. Britain's Trade Minister Liam Fox told the BBC today he still thinks the tariffs are the wrong approach.
The mechanism of dealing with Chinese steel overproduction in this case is the wrong one. We would rather see it dealt on a multilateral basis. The idea of penalising Britain when the small amount of steel that Britain sends to the United States is incorporated into its military program to penalise us on grounds of national security would not make any sense.
Liam Fox, so will the president's negotiating tactics be successful? David Kleiman is with the trade-focused think tank ESIPE.
First of all, it means that the Trump strategy of putting a gun to the head of certain countries to extract trade concessions, it hasn't worked yet. And it means that they are trying to buy more time to achieve the results that they haven't achieved so far. And they have various, very, very different demands in return for these exemptions to the tariffs. And you can already see how these basically 20th century trade measures, these tariffs, are causing traders to return to their home harbors. You've been seeing ships turning around on the Indian Ocean who were not able to sell in China anymore. And this is something that causes great uncertainty.
David Kleiman, let's do the numbers. It's thin holiday trading across the globe with markets from France, Germany, Hong Kong and India closed for May Day. The UK's FTSE is rising slightly, sterling though tumbling after data showed British manufacturing growth hit a 17-month low. Now here in London today at the Barclays annual shareholder meeting, funding for a Canadian pipeline is in the spotlight. The Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain pipeline would bring oil from the tar sands of central Canada to a western port. Ocean Highland of Canada's Tsleil-Waututh tribe, over whose land the pipeline will pass, is in London to ask the bank to reconsider its investment.
It's not if, but it's when the oil would spill out of the pipeline. That bitumen in the waterways is completely toxic. I'm only 22 years old and these big corporations are having all this say in my future, and I want to be able to have a sustainable future and for the generations that come after myself to have access to clean water and to food and to be able to breathe clean air. I'm just trying to use my voice to raise those concerns.
Ocean Highland. Well, Corey Battershill is a spokesman for Canada Action, which campaigns for the tar sand industry. He says the country's a leader on renewables but needs to exploit fossil fuels too.
Canada holds the world's third largest oil reserves. I think in the big picture, where growing global oil demand is a reality, we have to stop talking about the fear-heavy message that's been pushed by a lot of the activists and get back to the facts. The oil sands is a tremendous source of prosperity for all Canadians, and I believe that Canada should be one of the last producers out of the pool because of our high global rankings and standards for transparency and environmental protection.
Corey Battershill. Rupert Murdoch is undoubtedly one of the most successful and controversial media moguls of modern times. Well, a new book out today, The Murdoch Method, by his longtime advisor, Erwin Stelzer, chronicles that rise. So what is the Murdoch Method?
The thing that dominates the method is understanding that a business has a culture. And the culture that he had was a sort of us versus them notion that the establishment elite were depriving a lot of people of entertainment choices, of sports choices, choices of political opinion on television. Where he was most successful was always when there was a them for the people in his organization to want to get up and defeat and change things. He was, in a sense, the original disruptor.
Would you say now, though, he's become the establishment?
No. He's still, if you look at the New York Post, it's still an attack on the establishment. If you look at Fox News, it thrives because it attacks the media establishment. I mean, I think he's rich. That's certainly one criterion for being in the establishment. But look, Rupert backed Donald Trump, who's hardly an establishment figure.
Let's talk about how he's changed the media industry over decades. The scale, first of all, the global media empire, which is now being dismantled. Is that planned, or do you think he's dismayed by that?
It's difficult to say. He now faces a very different problem. He has competition in the United States from companies that don't have to make money, like Netflix. So that whereas Fox, let's say, I think had something like $1 billion budget for new content, Netflix has an $8 billion budget. And so Rupert felt, and I think quite properly, that he couldn't compete in that part of the media business. So he's exiting with, what, $60, $70 billion, cashing in some assets and retaining a very powerful sports enterprise network, a very powerful print media operation. In a sense, you could say he is the disruptor who has been disrupted.
Erwin Stelzer, finally, the sweet smell of success. After 8 years, French scientists have decoded the DNA of the world's 35,000 varieties of roses. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.